So what did you guys think of what he was saying in that talk?
Can't wait.
Right. It makes the trials, the difficulties, the sorrow, the frustrations of this life. You kind of get to where Paul's at, right? Of, boy, the sufferings of this present age doesn't even compare to what we're going to receive for eternity. Well, I want to just kind of think through some issues together as one larger group. If some of you need to, like, turn around or do what you need to do, do that to kind of hear better. But we're not going to be into small groups today, but just kind of as a larger group. So this first question, when you think about the love of Christ, do you find yourself believing that Christ loved you at the point of your conversion, but that his love slowly kind of powers down as you move through life, failing him time and time again? So when you're first converted, right, you really feel that the love of Christ, and then you just kind of go through life, you find disappointment after disappointment, struggle after struggle. You're dealing with the same sin and brokenness day after day, and you think, man, Jesus has to be disappointed with me, or is it rather where you think that, oh man, his love is increasing in me more and more every day from the moment I converted? Where are you guys at? Yep.
But that's our perception, because
right.
God doesn't change.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly. It's our perception. That's right. It's what we're projecting onto Him. It's we're making a God out of our own image, in a sense. Right. When we think that it's love is powering down, but it's not. Think about John chapter 13 verse 1. That's the day before. The crucifixion. What all happened on that day? What happened to Christ on that last final, the 24 hours between that statement, he loved him till the end, until there was the end? There was betrayal. There was denial. There was slaps in the face. Let's not even talk about like what the Jewish leaders did to him, or what the crowds did to him, or what the Romans did to him. But I'm just talking about what his very own, right? He says he loved his own till the end. What did his own do to him?
He fell asleep and didn't pray for him.
Right.
And then ran away.
Right. His own betrayed him with a kiss. His own. Right.
I think we generally think of the crucifixion as his physical torment and his physical anguish, but it brought out how probably far greater than that was his anguish of having the wrath of the Father mm-hmm. on him and being separated. They've never been separated from all eternity.
Right.
And to feel that, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the anguish that was so much greater for him, and it mm-hmm. was our sins that he was taking.
Yeah, so why did he go through all that?
He loved us.
Because yeah. He loved him to the end. He knew at that, even in that garden, in that moment, it was the love for his people. To the very end. That gives me comfort, right? When how many times that I'm like, I've been in the seat of his disciples, right? betraying him, denying him, forgetting him, falling asleep while I'm praying, right? And then the thinking, oh, like, you know, like what Dale said, man, he's probably just rolling his eyes again. No, he loved us, loves us, not loved, loves us to the end.
You've got to remember the saying, greater love hath no man, and Jesus was the God.
Yeah, right. No love, no greater love than the love of Christ, one laid down his life for us. What do you think causes us to think that it powers down?
That's what we do.
Share an example of what that would look like. How we do that.
Well, with our human tendencies, we are excited about something or we think we're loving, and then we power down if we don't get it reciprocated the way we think it should be. Mm-hmm. He's not that way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're fickle.
Yeah. She said the author, if you didn't hear, the author said that his love is like an avalanche that grows greater and greater, or like a wildfire that starts out small and then just continues to grow. How many of you all have been hurt by friends of yours? How many of you all... has your love grown stronger because you've been hurt by friends? Whitney's like, not necessarily. Why are you saying that? Friends are the ones that hurt the worst, right? Yeah. So we think that way of Christ, that it powers down and down again, that we, it's not growing, because that's what we are, right? And we have to keep rejecting that notion that he is like us. And that's, isn't that a lie from the enemy? Right, that he's going to want to tell you that in those moments. When in John 13:1, what will those who are not his own experience from Christ? He says he loved his own to the end. What are not his own going to experience? Wrath and judgment.
The NIV, my version says that he showed them the full extent of his love, so they would get the full extent of his wrath.
Wow.
What'd she say?
Her version said that he loved the full extent of his love and his own. And so that means that those who are not his own are going to experience the full extent of God's wrath. Now, how is that fate reversed for those who are his own? I mean, I guess the question, because we all know the answer, right? We get love and we get, you know, eternity. But how does that comfort you, knowing that you are his own? That through faith, you are his own and what you receive because of that. How does that comfort you?
I'm safe. Not even I can screw it up.
Wow. Yeah.
Eternal security.
Eternal security. Yeah.
Sometimes when I think about, so like I, somebody told me, or maybe I read it somewhere, that you know, hell is separation from God. And a lot of the ways I enjoy God are like through his creation. Like I like to hunt, I like to eat food. So separation from that is like, you take all the beauties of life and turn it into, like take all of God out of that, it's going to be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So experiencing the fullness of Christ must be the reverse. Like, so if we live in a broken world now, and even in the brokenness we have pleasures from God, then what does fullness look like? I don't know. That's where my mind goes a lot, is thinking about just what the fullness of all of who he is would look like. It's got to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. You guys heard that? So he's saying that, man, I enjoy creation and I enjoy all the things that God has made, and how much more will that be extended even more in eternity? Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah, basically, like all the things we love here are outpourings of who he is and mm-hmm. his creation. So when we actually have him, how much better will that be than just the created thing?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sometimes that,
go ahead.
About comforting, like thinking of times that like we know are temporary, like I don't know, with all the transitions we've been in, often it's like, okay, I like where we're at now, but there's coming a time when we have to move on from this and go to something else. Or even if you think of like best vacation you've been on and how much you enjoy it, but you know, like, okay, like there's only 2 days left, or like then we're gonna have to go back to real life. And sometimes in those moments where I've just been really sad of something ending, I've thought of like, man, what if my relationship like with God was like that, where it was temporary? Or if I, you know, like I think sometimes I even take for granted the fact that like it's just always there, like it's never going away, and it's not one of those things that like we have to savor because we only have a little bit left, and just what a drop that is.
Mm-hmm. Now she's saying that we don't have to, our relationship with God is not temporary, like a vacation that we go on, where it ends at some point. What a comfort it is that it's going to be an eternal relationship with him. It won't end. And we can't screw that up, like Kevin said. no matter what happens, we have that eternal security in his love, that he will love us till the end. Even we might not love him to the end, but he loves us to the end. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about how God's glory is manifested. He wants us to know his glory from his goodness, from his mercy, right? We looked at that from Exodus chapter 24, that Moses wanted him to reveal his glory, and he said that I will show you my goodness, right? My goodness will pass over you. So he's equating his glory with his goodness. So what are some ways in which you, when you think about, man, I need to glorify God, what are some ways that we glorify God? You ever heard that before? Man, all glory be to God, man. I just want to glorify my heart. No, wait, that's purify my heart. But there is a line that says glorify.
My heart.
I got that one. Isn't there a glorify? Isn't there like a... Glorify your name in all the earth, right? But there's also a song that's like, glorify in my church, Lord. be glorified, right? In my life, and I'll just get a lighter out. In my life, Lord. So when we hear like be glorified or glorify yourself in my life, what are some ways in which we glorify God? Or do we just sing that as a mantra? Yeah. Yeah, in thankfulness and gratitude, yeah, of his goodness.
I always liked Piper's definition of, you know, he's most glorified when we're most satisfied in him. And then I would take that a step further and say, when we are truly satisfied in Christ, like we start to let go of things and we're able to actually love people, we're able to do those outward things.
She's saying that Piper's statement of God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him, and she's taking a step further that when we are satisfied in his love, we can glorify him. When we're satisfied, we can love others better with that. What are some other ways we glorify God? When we tell others about his glory and his love?
By obeying.
By obeying?
Serving.
By abiding.
By abiding in him? Tell me more about that.
Well, so Jesus says, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. And then those who abide in me are the ones who keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when we rest in him or trust in what he's done, we're enabled to do all the other stuff.
When we rest in Christ, then we can do all the other stuff. That's an exact quote of John. So we can do all the other stuff, which I'm guessing you're saying all of what everybody else said. Yeah. Right. Let me take this a step further. What is one way we glorify his heart for us?
Doing your best even if you don't like the task you're doing.
Doing your best even though you don't like the task you're doing. How can we glorify him? We know his heart for us. We've just been studying that for 10 weeks. How do we glorify that heart?
For me, it's just accepting that he loves you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think you have to hurt it? When you accept that in your rest, like John said, some of their stuff, you're sharing that love with others.
Yeah.
So when you have that love, you can't keep it.
Yeah.
Share it.
Yeah. She's saying we glorify his heart when we accept his heart, when we accept his love for us. I mean, just think about it. When you have a friend or somebody in your care, and you're just trying to show. I mean, suppose like, you know, let me give an example of like an adoptive situation, right? Anybody ever been in an adoption situation in here? I'm looking around. Either be adopted or adopted others. Okay, I was gonna have them share their testimony. Man, if only the Teesons were in here, right? Or the Firthmeyers, or you know. Or Sarah, the Penners. Man, why are all those people gone?
I was adopted.
You were adopted?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. By the way, what's your name? I
don't mean Andrew.
Andrew, nice to meet you. I'm Luke. We should be doing this in private. Sorry, guys. I don't want to put you on the spot.
It's not a bad name.
Yeah. No, so can you just kind of share, what age were you when you first came into the home?
Nine.
Did you, how was that when you were embraced by a new family? Like, how was that? Like, was it struggle to kind of begin to love, to?
Yeah, I remember going from first name basis to mom and dad was like a really weird but very life-giving memory.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I was like, do you want me to call you, like, short name or long name? Or, like, just call us mom and dad. Oh, right, I'm a child. I'm welcomed in.
Yeah.
So that was really special.
Yeah. Was it Was it difficult to, not difficult, how would you say, like, you know, you were accepting of their love? Was it hard to believe? Was it easy? Was it?
I don't know. Maybe I still haven't been trying. Yeah, it's hard at times. You always feel like you need to impress.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every time it goes away.
Do they project that on you, that you need to impress?
Never.
How does that make you feel?
Like they're wrong and they should be doing what I think they should be doing. Projecting that I need to impress them.
Yeah.
They're right. And it makes me feel safe and secure.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you think that makes them feel when you just accept their love?
Probably good.
Yeah. Probably glorifies them. I mean, if I could use this human example, like it would just make them feel like really good. Like you don't have to do anything, but just accept my love, and that's, I would be most happy about that. Like that's gonna make me the most happy. If you just believe that I love you, right? More than just, hey, doing all the chores, doing all the stuff for me or representing my name well, right? Just accept my love, right? I just think that's a, thank you for allowing me to dive deep into some wounds, maybe. welcome to our church, by the way. yeah, I just think that is such a great example. It's powerful in my own life that if he is just going to be the most happy, he can be the most, Christ is most glorified when I just believe that he loves me. I don't have to do anything. Yes, obedience, yes, all those things are great, you know, which is obviously, he won't be disappointed if we do that, right? He would love that as well. But most of all, if we would just believe it, if we would accept his love for us, would be the most glorifying thing to him.
Can I throw out a thought?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, for people who like to host others in their house, this is just another thought I was thinking. Like, it's the most fun if you have a party in your house when all the guests are having a great time and are okay plopping down on your couch and eating all your food. When they go home, that's when you feel like, man, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're like rigid at the dinner table with the cloth napkin on their lap, like having proper conversation, for me at least, it's less fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So he's sharing the example of just hospitality, right? So the how much more are we satisfied when they just plop on the couch and they are accepted into our home, and they feel accepted into our home. Yeah. Maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're more like, no, I want them to do this. you guys are laughing? You guys have a personal example about that?
I don't think so.
Okay. I thought you were like thinking of something in your mind. I want to get deep into the heart of Cassidy. What's going on inside her brain right now? But yeah, he actually has, if you have the book, in the epilogue, he talks about how can we, now that we've done this for 23 chapters, where do we go? How do we apply this gentle and lowly? How do we apply that? And he says there's two ways that we can apply this. One is to just be amazed by Jesus, and two, repeat. Repeat number one. Does anybody have the book? I don't think I go to Jesus, right? Number one, go to Jesus. And two, repeat number one. That's the application. The application, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I need to do that, I need to, you know, change something in my life. No, it's just be amazed by him. Just go to him. Accept his love for you. And that, I'm telling you, that will change your life. It'll change your life. I don't know if I should share this example. I've been watching this new television series, and the guy is just so optimistic. The main character, he's so optimistic, and it just, sometimes it drives people crazy around him. He's just so optimistic. He's so full of joy and so full of hope and so, and all these things, and everybody's just kind of around him being like, this guy's absolutely nuts. He's crazy. And I'm thinking, throughout the whole series, I'm thinking, every Christian should be like that. Imagine if every one of Christ's disciples had that attitude in life, how much we could change the world. If we really believed and accepted Christ's love for us, man, that would just change who we are as we go throughout our lives in the world, as we interact with family, as we interact with neighbors and coworkers and friends and everything. If we just would accept that and know that, rather than just be like, I got to do it, like what Paul, John said. I almost called you Paul, wrong disciple. what John said, which is, man, just abide in him. If you don't abide in him, you can do nothing. And that's why a lot of us, we don't do anything, myself included, because I'm not abiding in his love. According to Ephesians 2:7, if you have your Bibles, turn there. What time is it? Oh my goodness. So bad at time management.
You have no limit. We're good.
Totally. Huh? Totally. Yeah, right. Ephesians 2, verse 7. I don't like how we're coming right in the middle of a sentence. So, the start of the sentence is verse 4. So come back to verse 4. But God, so there's a but there because the first three verses we're talking about how terrible we are. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here we are, according to the point of heaven, right? So this is where we're at. He raised us up, made us alive. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. Now we got this eternal vision in our mind right now. Now verse 7. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So what's the point of heaven? So that's the book answer. So put that in your own words. I can read the verse. I want you guys. What is the image that you have in your mind with that verse right now?
I think we'll just absorb the fullness of his entire being. We'll just be complete, like full of him and his grace.
Mm-hmm. Absorb. He's saying absorb everything of his being in his grace. She's sharing a story of in South Asia, we would, their idea of a birthday party is like the birthday person just like spends lavishly on the guests. And that shows honor to the birthday person. And even like we had like return gifts. You know, you ever get like return gifts at a birthday party?
Party.
The party favors. So you know the party favors, right? Have you guys ever had that? The party favors sometimes would be like twice as much than what the gift we brought. Like that's, it was insane. At least in my cultural understanding, it's insane. But to them, it's showing us. So that's the way that she's in, like Julia's envisioning, you know, heaven is like, this is like, I'm just gonna continue to glorify myself by just treating you to the best and showing you how much I love you through that. Yeah, we're just gonna be enjoying his love. We're just gonna be like, oh, there's another point of his grace. Oh yeah, there's another example of his grace. There's another example of his mercy. There's another example. Oh man, this is incredible. I mean, you guys ever get? I get so jazzed when I hear people's testimonies, like when people are converted from darkness to light. I get that's some of the most exciting stories to me. And I get to hear it all the time with my mission board. I get to hear, like, you know, candidates that want to go to the field, and I hear their testimonies, and I get so jazzed. And I think that's what we're doing for eternity, right? It's just hearing people's testimonies of, oh, yeah, Jesus did it again. And it's going to be awesome. I'm going to be looking forward to that. Trying to figure out now that I have 5 minutes left, what's the most important one. Yeah, let's focus on this one, because now that we've wrapped up the study, for you, what's been the most transformative aspect of the study of Christ's heart for you over these 2.5 months? Share a testimony of God's grace in your life these 2 months.
I'll go.
Yeah.
So, I am like, in my life, I'm like a continual disappointment to myself. So, for me, taking time to consistently dwell on the fact that I'm not starting new, but that the grace is always there. Like, I'm always, like, even after I have failed once again, that my starting point is Christ has and does love me, changes the way that I go to him in prayer as I try to continue being a disciple, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily like brand new for me, but it's deepened my ability to jump into that.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I was very young in faith, it was always a long like, I'm sorry. Lots of like repentant, like trying to apologize my way into his love. I haven't done that in a few years, but that's still my inclination, is to go more that route than to start in his love.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for me,
which doesn't minimize
the ability to just jump into that.
Which doesn't minimize repentance.
For sure.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I still hate it when I'm a failure.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Well, as we wrap up, let me pray for us. God, your love it's amazing. We struggle in our broken minds to understand our broken minds, but even in our finite minds to understand it. We believe in this love. Help our unbelief. Would you continue to transform our affections? Continue to transform what we think of you. Transform our mind to believe rightly about you, to believe rightly about your love for us. And may we truly accept it every day. May we see your mercies anew every morning. You have to open up our eyes to that. Would you guard us from temptation? Keep temptation far from us. The enemy loves to whisper in our ears distortions of your love. And so would you guard us? Would you take those away? Would you not allow the enemy to sift us like wheat in understanding your love for us? And may we just embrace it and accept it and it just flow out of us. So help us to abide in you. Would you just draw near to us every day and allow us to experience that love, even in the midst of our brokenness? Call us to a greater repentance and faith in you every day. We pray this for the glory of your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Just take a few moments. So now you're saying, where do we go from here? What are we doing next week? If we close this thing out, what are we doing next week? Well, we're going to take a, I don't want to use the word break, because it's not a break of Sunday school, but we're not going to be doing a formal study. I know that's kind of blasphemy in our circles. How can we not do a study, right? It's okay, but we're not going to cancel Sunday school. What it is just going to be, I've asked the hospitality team to kind of put out some more treats every week, and we're going to have our own time of fellowship of, I'm using that word. of partnering together. So we have like all these like small groups sometimes in here, and I would set the agenda, talk about this, but really break down into small groups, get to know one another, kind of see this hour over the next month, the month of December, as just an extension of small group, right? Getting to one of those lives, how are things going? Just grab some donuts and some treats and some coffee and just sit in here and start up conversations with people. So this is not like a break. It isn't, oh, good, I get to sleep in until 10:15. Great, you know. Well, hopefully you're not waking up at 10:15, but you're not coming here until 10:15. But really come here at 9 and develop relationships with one another. And then I'm in my study, which is the old bookstore. We're going to spend some time in prayer. So those of you who would just don't want to be, or not people, people are not extroverted and don't want to talk to people, you can pray with me in my study, and we're just going to be praying through the needs of the church and praying for the nations and praying for the lost and praying for different things like that. So spend the Sunday school hour with me, and that is the drumbeat. It should be the drumbeat. It ought to be the drumbeat of our church, which is we need to go to him and we're dependent upon him. So if you want to join me in there, do that. If not, come enjoy snacks and whatever in here. So that's the plan for at least the month of December, and I'll give you word about what's happening in January. So they're flooding in, so you guys are dismissed. Come on in.